2-2 pitch. A swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Welcome back to another Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. It's your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me is my co-host, Dylan White, back from a little vacation. He went out snowmobiling in the Great White North. You know, him and the Robo Scout, you guys were figuring out what you were tweaking for 2026. Let me ask you, we're going to put you in the spot here as we start the show. Dylan is the robot running for this weekend. We're going to get a little Robo Scout.
I think you'll get a AAA Robo Scout. It's a bit early for the other levels. I think the average is like 10 at bats or something like that, or 12 at bats. So it's not quite stable, but I think AAA, I'll give you a little taste of what it's showing.
Very good. Very good. We'd like to see that. We like to hear that. It's been a few weeks now in AAA. Nobody really has the samples in terms of like batted ball data for really even some of like the least noisy or like the most quickly stabilizing metrics to really stabilize. So, but it's always interesting to get some names, see what's going on, what it's spitting out early. You know, it's we're not digging deep yet. You know, we're not getting below the surface and trying to find some fossils. We're just seeing what kind of materials are out there on the surface and just kind of going through those. With that said, we're going to spend the show kind of going back and forth, going through some players again. I think this is the best way for us to kind of deliver and update you on maybe some changes that have happened with certain players or guys that are producing that we strongly believe in and think you should go out and try to acquire. So Dylan, I'll give you first pick. Which player do you want to talk about first in terms of these 10 players we're going to talk about today that are breaking out?
I'm going to start with Andrew Salas. I mean, I just said low A and the lower minors aren't quite deep into the season to have anything stable. But I think there's some interesting things happening with Andrew Salas of the Marlins. You may remember last year he debuted as a 17-year-old in low A. Because of the extremely young age, RoboScout was crazy about him. He had such good contact metrics as well. And then it's just slowly he kind of bled down the list because it became kind of clear he didn't have the power, the thump in the bat. And he just kind of slid down. His 90th percentile exit velocity was 93.9, which was very, very low, even for someone that young. This year, though, repeating low A as an 18-year-old, so he's still one of the youngest. I think he is like one of a handful, like maybe 10, 18-year-olds in their age 18 season. He has already hit a home run. So I pulled the Savant numbers. So last year, 242 batted ball events, 242 in 2025. His hardest hit ball was 109, and it was a ground ball. His next hardest hit is from this year, 101, a home run. And his 10th hardest hit is his second hit from this year, 98 miles an hour. So he already has two of his top 10 hardest hit balls in professional baseball were done this year in his 19 plate appearances. So is that meaningful? I think it is. I think it is. I think the fact that he's already hit his like second hardest hit ball in his career, in his like second game, and it's 101 miles an hour. I think that is meaningful. So he's only 18. So he's still young. It looks like he's, you know, adding some strength, some bulk, because he's young, RoboScout likes him. So I just think that, you know, those who kind of, wrote him off, he's too young. He doesn't have, see me in 3 years when he adds some muscle. You know, he might have added some thump in the bat right now. So Andrew Salas, don't forget about him. Obviously, I'll be keeping an eye on him and writing about him all year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an interesting name and still super projectable. I saw him down in the backfields toward the end of my Florida run. And the skills are there in the field. He makes contact, quality at bats. And I think if he does grow into a little bit more power and starts to show that more consistently, not even at like insane angles, if he starts hitting the ball hard, even a lot of ground balls, as long as they're sort of like the right direction, there's a chance that those turn into hits, right? Like hard hit ground balls have a pretty high batting average on balls in play. So like that, I'm going to go the pitcher route with mine. I'm going to go with Juan Valera. He actually pitched tonight in high A for Greenville, had 15 whiffs. He looked phenomenal. Per the broadcast, he was up to 102 miles per hour. I tend to believe that too, because Valera shows 101, probably has popped to 102 in the backfields. I have to go back and check. But like every time I've seen Valera throw in person, he's hit triple digits. Like he's been awesome. So went five innings tonight, couple of hits, and like both of them, if I remember correctly, were kind of like swings that guys were late on, and they kind of shot a ball in the outer half of the plate to the opposite field down the line and kind of snuck one. Only one walk, 9 Ks. So when he's throwing strikes, we've seen this before, his zone rates have always been pretty high. I think as he moves up, hitters won't be as overwhelmed by the stuff, and will you know, attack some pitches in the zone once in a while. He's going to get more calls. It's turbo stuff. And like I talked about the fastball, that might be one of the worst pitches in his arsenal. Slider is really good. You know, hard, upper 80s hard slider. He's got a couple different shapes. He's got a sweeper shape as well. Missed bats on both of those. Was using in both his out pitches. And he's got a super firm, crazy running, like hard running changeup. It was up to... He had a 95 mile per hour changeup off the plate for a strikeout tonight. Like it's almost like a splink. Like it's a goofy pitch. But when, you know, you're sitting 98 to 102 in the first inning, like a 95 mile per hour changeup is like a decent velocity separation off your sort of your top end. So just an interesting pitcher. And I think the thing about him is there's not a lot of guys that throw as hard as he does, that have feel for their secondaries and just control and command in general. And he kind of does have that. Like he tends to be around the zone. Like his misses tend not to be huge misses. So Valera is one where I think like his prospect status could really shoot up if he stays healthy, if he continues to look the way that he's looked in spring training, on the backfields, the way that he looked in his first few starts. I think that Valera is a guy that could, you know, absolutely shoot up boards just because of the level of stuff and the fact that there are like real starting pitcher traits here.
I like it. I unfortunately, he's not available in any of my dynasty leagues, but definitely a good name because I was going to try to grab him. I saw some of the news about him earlier today and I ran to my waiver wire, but unfortunately he's gone.
Let's go to the next name then, Dylan. Who you got for me?
I'm going to go up to AAA now. This guy's been getting a lot of Twitter buzz. That's Pedro Ramirez of the Cubs, infielder. I guess the book on him has been he's pretty good on defense, can play a bunch of positions in the field, very good contact rates. But the exit velocities are, you know, average, fringe average. But this year, it seems that he's added the power, just kind of like the Andrew Salas narrative. The contact, in-zone contact, I think he hadn't missed in the zone. He might have missed now. Or basically 100%. Last year, he had a 85% contact rate, 89% in-zone, and he had a 103 mile per hour, 90 percentile exit velocity. This year, he's had 35 batted ball events, 12 of them. So one third of them are over 101 miles an hour at good angles as well. It's only 35 batted ball events, but his 90th percentile exit velocity, so like his top four velocities are like over 107 miles an hour, which is extremely good. He already has 4 home runs, 3 stolen bases, no caught stealing, 159 WRC plus and 49 plate appearances. So, I mean, if he's a 20 home run bat now, which those exit velocities are kind of showing and he's got them at good angles, then, you know, he's a very interesting player. You know, 20 home runs, 15 stolen bases, can play all over the field, pretty good defense too. So, I could see him, since he's in AAA, 22 years old, I can see him joining the Cubs at some point, maybe. I mean, they have Dansby Swanson. They have Nico Horner, some gold glove middle infielders. But, you know, he could spell some of them. Could back up now. I have him in a couple dynasties. So he may not be a 2026 guy, but, you know, a guy that can put up, you know, five categories, essentially, solid categories, you know, 2027 on, where he'd be like 23 years old. So I like Pedro Ramirez of the Cubs.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. He's a guy that, you know, obviously I cover the Cubs here for BA, and, you know, a guy that I had kind of always held in higher regard maybe than some other people, and, you know, kind of pushed into a top 10 position in that system. I think he's a really good all-around player and somebody that's going to be like a sneaky war contributor for a big league team for a lot of years, because, you know, he is very versatile defensively, but also like offensively. Like he has some feel for the zone. There's good contact skills there. There's like enough power that it could all sort of work. And he's just kind of a heady baseball player. So yeah, I think that's a really good name. Excellent call out. The guy that I'm going to go to here is sort of an oldie, but a goodie. And Noah Schultz. Schultz is somebody that, it's kind of funny, was held in incredibly high regard 2 years ago. Last year, for the first time in his life, he goes into the fifth inning and starts, goes into the sixth inning and starts. So really had to, you know, sort of stretch out as a starter, as opposed to being this guy with huge stuff that attacks that lineup the first time through and does the damage that he does. Faced upper level competition for the first time in his career. And with that came some adversity. And I think what you saw from Schultz was some very calculated adjustments. The arm slot is higher by several degrees. It's kind of back up to where it was previously. Dylan, you had kind of called this out. I'll let you talk a little bit about that once I'm finished the riffing here. But with, you know, the raising of that arm angle, that arm slot, he's able to create a steeper plane on a sinker, which is essential for a sinker. It's not like a four-seam fastball where like the low release height and ride and a spin efficiency creates plane. It's the opposite. You want a steeper plane because it just, it plays better out of the hand. It's allowed him to command the slider a little bit better. I think the cutter has been sharper and more effective out of his hand. He's been able to turn over the changeup as well. I think when you look at Noah Schultz as he's currently constituted, he has taken a step forward. He's done the things necessary to take that step. And I think at this point, get an opportunity in the big leagues. It would not shock me if Noah Schultz pitches for the White Sox, starts some games within the next month, if it's not within the next few weeks, because he does look ready. I think the opportunity is there. He's got plenty of high minors experience and time at this point. He's got options. If there's an opportunity for them to call up Schultz and start him, it wouldn't shock me if that happens. And if he's pitching the way that he's pitched early in AAA, he could hold on to that job and sort of never let go. There's not a whole lot keeping him out of the White Sox rotation long term. So if you're in, you know, a redraft league, a shallower dynasty league, if you're rebuilding and you're looking for a guy that maybe you can acquire right before things go crazy, I think, you know, targeting Schultz in trades as a piece in a multiplayer type of deal, I think he's actually a really good target right now, and it's about to blow up. So I would buy in now, because I think he's showing the signs, he's showing the traits that you can buy into with Noah Schultz. What are your thoughts on that, Dylan?
I mean, I completely agree. I mean, in 2024, he was like the number one pitcher on RoboScout. The stuff was incredible. He was young. He was just dominating, all that stuff. And then so when he was playing the Futures game in the first half, he was the one I wanted to watch. I think we talked about it on the podcast. And then he was kind of not so great. And we looked at the first half and second half kind of traits, Statcast traits. And his arm slot had dropped. And I speculated, even in an article, that maybe, you know, he was hurt or fatigued. And so let's see what happens with that arm slot. And last year, the arm slot was still down. So I kind of not wrote him off, but I was kind of like, all right, you know, figure something out. He wasn't going deep in games like he said. So like, what's going on here? Are they babying him? Is there an injury that they're kind of trying to hide, kind of protect? But now, you know, if he's raised that arm slot, he got 9 Ks yesterday, I think, too. He's a guy that, you know, he might be the top prospect again, like if once we finish Robusco for the season by the end of the year. The White Sox, they just sent down Shane Smith, their opening day starter, after he struck out 8 and had a pretty good job. I think that might be a workload thing. But like all the talk in the redraft is like Hagen Smith or Tanner McDougal. But, you know, I think Noah Schultz is the guy. Like you said, he may surprise people by being the guy that's the White Sox contributor from the minor leagues in pitching, even for this year. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a name you can call. He had the pedigree. Like I said, he was like number one prospect, pitching prospect in Robuscott a couple of years ago. So he can reach that ceiling again. Hopefully the person who has him hasn't just been holding on, hoping he could regain, and maybe he's tired of him, maybe he's frustrated, maybe he doesn't think he'll ever go deep in games, and maybe you can get him cheap.
Yeah, I like it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting my Noah Schultz propaganda. All right, Dylan, let's go with your next player.
I'm going to follow the same narrative of good contact, and if they could just get exit velocities, you know, grab them immediately. And that's Sam Antonacci. He was making some waves in the WBC, playing for Italy. He's getting some good contact there. He actually had very similar contact and in-zone contact rates, almost identical to Pedro Ramirez, who we just talked about last year in AA. They both had an 85% contact and 89% in-zone, and they both had a 103 90th percentile exit velocity, 103 miles per hour. This year, he has 28 batted ball events. One of them is at 106, another one was at 105.9, and his third one, which was a home run off of Brody Hopkins, was 105.1. So, you know, you could call that a 105 90th percentile exit velocity. Probably too early to call it that. But, you know, to hit a home run off Brody Hopkins with the contact rates that he has, he was showing them in college. He was kind of an FYPD guy where that was the narrative, is like really good contact. It doesn't chase. Let's see if he can add some strength. Add some exit velocities. Seems like he's doing it. Last year in 217 plate appearances in AA, he only had one home run. This year, in AAA, he has 2 home runs already in 47 plate appearances. So, you know, that could be 20 home run pop. He steals a bunch of bases. He has 4 already this season. So that's like 20 stolen bases in the majors. So you're looking at like a 15 to 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. And with those contact rates, it's going to be good batting average, good OBP. I think he doesn't chase as well. So same Antonacci, probably even better than Pedro Ramirez in terms of fantasy production. On the White Sox, he'll have the run when Austin Hayes just went on the IL. There was a lot of scuttlebutt about, is it going to be Sam Antonacci? He's not on the 40 man, so they called up Dustin Harris instead. But I think it's going to be this year, Sam Antonacci comes up, and he will be going for a lot of fab in redraft. And I think he's a name in Dynasty that's really climbing.
Yeah, and has really nice underlying skills and supporting skills. The power seems to be coming along. It's never going to be crazy, but just enough for him to be relevant, right? You just kind of need to get over that impact threshold that if you hit for enough power, all the other skills kind of fall in line. And it makes you valuable as a fantasy player as well. All right, for my next name, I'm going to go with the hottest hitter on the planet. That's James Tibbs III. I think it's just, this is a good lesson in two ways. Number one, probably don't need to like overreact on the performance of James Tibbs in the early going. It's obviously been eye-popping what he's done over the first 11 games of the season. Kind of dates back to the minor league spring training, some of the looks that he had in the spring breakout game. He's just really hit for the last few months. He's really hit since coming to the Dodgers. That said, don't go too crazy. He's still got to find a way to break into the Dodgers, get onto the 40-man roster. Who knows? I mean, this could be another guy that's traded to another organization to get that opportunity. I think if he was in a significantly less deep organization, there might be some chatter about him potentially being, you know, promoted to the major leagues at some point here over the next few weeks. I don't think there's any chance that happens now with the Dodgers. But the skills have always been here. And that's the other part of this, is sort of don't forget that there are contact skills. There's always been good swing decisions, the angles and power. The power was always there. The angles were sort of iffy. They've made some adjustments, obviously, in that regard. The angles have gotten better. He's finding a ton of barrels. I don't think he's this guy, but I do think this is like a major league quality, everyday regular hitter that's going to be fantasy relevant in, you know, most fantasy formats and certainly in every dynasty format. So you don't want to probably buy into it like right now. You don't want to make this trade. But maybe in a couple of weeks when like he comes back down to earth a little bit, I do think you look at the left-handed power, the pedigree, the track record up to a really small period where he got moved to multiple organizations and had to make some big adjustments. So, I'm not going crazy here with James Tibbs, but I do think that there is some actual like smoke here. You know, it is, this is not bull crap.
Yeah, I don't think it would surprise you that he's leading, sneak peek at the AAA RoboScout, he's leading AAA. But with 7 home runs and 50 plate appearances or whatever it is, you're going to probably be doing that. And he's only 23. So, yeah, James Tibbs, definitely a good guy. I think you're right. I think you don't want to trade for him now because I think the guy who's got James Tibbs is not going to move him. He wants to ride this out, see what happens. Like, sure, this is a 40 home run bet. So wait a couple weeks, exactly like you said. That's exactly the playbook.
That's what you got to do. All right, Dylan, you know what? I'm going to give you your pick in a second. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the second half of these guys.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've had to fill your gas tank recently, you're probably feeling financial stress. And that stress affects far more than our bank accounts. It can take a serious toll on mental health and relationships, with 88% of Americans feeling some form of financial stress at the start of 2026. Money worries often bring anxiety, sleep disruption, and even depression, and are one of the leading sources of conflicts among couples. BetterHelp can help. A BetterHelp therapist can help you manage the stress and anxiety that financial issues can cause. It can help you unpack your relationship with money, help you develop coping strategies, and help you feel less isolated. BetterHelp can match you with a therapist that fits your need. A short questionnaire identifies your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp's 12-plus years of experience means they typically get it right the first time. But if you are unhappy about your match, switch to a different therapist at any time with their tailored recommendations. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists in the world's largest online therapy platform, and it's served over 6 million people globally. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/baseballamerica. That's betterhelp.com/baseballamerica.
All right, and we are back. We are talking some breakout names, some early names to target as far as breakouts. We've gone through 6 players total already. So we are starting our fourth round of back and forth. We've already talked about Andrew Salas, Juan Valera, Pedro Ramirez, Noah Schultz, Sam Antonacci, James Tibbs III. Dylan, who is your fourth name?
So I'm going to go major leaguer. Probably the talk, I would say the talk of the league this season. And that's Jordan Walker. I'm sure, as you all know, Jordan Walker has been lighting it up with home runs, being called as, is he the breakout? Is he a post-hype guy? Just as a reminder, he's always had the bat speed, but in 2024, 2025 combined, 574 plate appearances. He had a .211 batting average with a .206 expected batting average, an OBP below .271. WRC plus of 68, basically terrible. Bad defense as well, but he was still hitting the ball hard. So, you know, he's a guy that people were maybe taking as, you know, Lars Nootbaar is going to start on the IL. Maybe it's a post-type flyer. He's still very young. He's 24 this season. But he's come out gangbusters. So I track bat speed for my redraft stuff. The average bat speed, hard hit percentage, blasts per swing, blast per contact, all that stuff that's kind of correlated to predictive offense. And he's number one on my list this year. He's up 6 points, like sort of like a hit plus, WRC plus scale. He's 121. Last year, he was 115. He has a 23% barrel rate, which is obviously unsustainable and ridiculous. The last 2 years average was like for him, the average of his last 2 years was 10%. So he's like really crushing it. He's got 82 swings for blasts. It's around 90 swings is where it kind of stabilizes. So, you know, if you regress that to the mean, he's still well above average, obviously. So what does that mean? Do I think that he's a breakout? He's a 40 home run guy? I don't know. I don't think so. But one way to kind of stress test is looking at Steamer 600 before the season and after the season, like to see how much they buy in. So keep in mind, he has 574 plate appearances before his age 23 season, where he had 11 home runs and had like a 68 WRC plus. But he has a Steamer 600 before the season of a 100 WRC plus, so league average hitter, 18 home runs, 11 stolen bases. Not too bad. Not too bad, actually, considering how poorly he's done the last 2 years. Now, after his start, his 49 plate appearance start, he has a 106 WRC plus, so 6% increase in his offense and a 21 home run projection. So, you know, Steamer is starting to slowly buy in and take his recent performance more into account. He's now a 20 home run bat, 247 batting average. So slowly but surely. This is what you do with projections, right? You take all the last few seasons and you weight the most recent ones more. He doesn't have that much of a sample size, so you're gonna, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But you know, I think everything underneath, he's barreling it, he's still hitting it hard, he's still swinging with incredible bat speed. I think there's a chance that, you know, Jordan Walker's the guy that we all thought he was going to be when we were so excited a few years ago when he broke camp as a starting outfielder with the Cardinals. So I think Jordan Walker is a guy I believe in. I think he's like a SP outfield, like outfield three, could be outfield two by the All-Star break if he keeps this up. Obviously, he's going to slow down a bit, but I think he's going to still, you know, be a pretty good slugger with a batting average that doesn't hurt you. So Jordan Walker, buying in, I guess, is the consensus conclusion.
Dylan is in on Jordan Walker. That's a really good name. And a reminder in like deeper dynasty leagues to always leave like a spot or two to take a shot on some of these post-hype guys or guys who have had a little success and then fall back. I know Trent Grisham was kind of one for me last year that I think falls into this bucket where, you know, had some prospect pedigree, maybe not as much as Walker, had a little more MLB success than Walker had. But it also kind of fallen into a reserve role and had been forgotten and, you know, discarded, especially in the deeper leagues where the waivers are a little more shallow. He's a guy you might've been able to pick up. Next guy I'm going to talk about is somebody who's been kind of setting the world on fire from the pitching standpoint. He's a Cardinal as well. And that's Tanner Franklin. Franklin was a reliever at Tennessee. He was at Kennesaw State for a couple of years before that. Really big stuff. He was a guy that kind of coming into last year's draft, you know, those that were in the know were always kind of like, you know, this is a guy that he's got good size. He's got a deep enough arsenal. He's got good stuff. There's enough strikes here that if, you know, you take the time and you can be patient, you can develop this guy into a really good starting pitcher. The Cardinals were kind of the perfect fit. Like, there's a different approach in terms of the players that they're targeting. Their player development on the pitching side has been revamped under Chaim Bloom. They have a new scouting director in Zach Mortimer. And I think you look at a player like Tanner Franklin, this is the type of player they're probably going to be targeting pretty heavily. relying on the stuff models and, you know, bouncing it off of cross checkers and scouts and kind of getting the full feel for the player. This was a great pick. So far, so good. He did debut last year, but this is his first full season for all intents and purposes. He had a really nice start tonight. I think he struck out 7, if I'm not mistaken. And the stuff is there. I think he hit 100 in his first start. I'll have to check on what the peak velocity was, you know, for his start tonight. But I don't know how long he ends up lasting in high A, just because of the quality of the stuff, the type of performances that he had. I just checked the box score, went 3 innings tonight, struck out 7, had 2 hits and a walk. And that was on 61 pitches, 43 strikes. So throwing a good rate of strikes, getting swings and misses, getting whiffs, keeping the ball in the catcher's mitt and not in play, and just kind of generating outs consistently. As he starts to build up, I think this guy has sky-high upside. So Tanner Flanquin's a name that I'm kind of targeting all over the place. Who's your last name, Dylan?
Before I get to that last name that everyone's waiting for, okay. Do you like Franklin better than Joseph Zirwa of the Orioles?
Joseph Jerzwa.
Jerzwa, okay.
Yeah, it actually says, like, it sounds like a J. Joseph Jerzwa. I think Jerzwa is a little more polished. I think in terms of, like, you know, he can go deeper into starts. There's more strikes there. He doesn't throw as hard, but he's a lefty, and I think that he has the better secondary of the two. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. You know, I think for fantasy, you probably want to gamble on the guy with the higher upside, which is Tanner Franklin. But I could see if you're a little more risk averse, you might like Joseph Jerzwa a little bit more. And that's DZI Jerzwa.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So that's good to hear that, because I was thinking floor for Jerzwa and Franklin for upside. Okay, so my last name is going to be a bit of a off the beaten path here. This is a guy that has a 481 BABIP and no home runs. So why on earth would I pick him as a breakout? But that's Colt Keith. He's been leading off the Tigers. They've only played against right-handers all year. He bats left. He's probably a strong side platoon. So we haven't seen whether he's going to hit against lefties. But he's hit either first or third in the lineup all season. That's a lineup with Kevin McGonigal, Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Gleyber Torres, like some pretty good guys, Spencer Torkelson, Dylan Dingler. Why do I like Colt Keith when I just said he has no home runs and a BABIP of 480? Well, he's really increased his bat speed. Just using that bat speed spreadsheet I was talking about, he's increased his bat speed by 2.7 miles an hour. His hard hit rate last year was 10%. It's 30% this year. He's doubling his blasts per contact, blasts per swing. He's kind of added 11 basis points to his hit plus by bat speed. Last year, he was like a 99 on my scale. He's a 110 this year, which is like top 30. And I regress that too. That's not just raw numbers. That's like regress it to the mean based on number of swings. So I like Colt Keith a lot. He's played third and first. I think right now he's only, maybe he's eligible for second as well. I'm not sure what he's eligible at, but he'll probably have first and third by midseason at least. Strong side platoon guy. I think he's capable of 20 to 25 home runs. I think he's going to have good batting average, 260 plus, maybe even up to 270. If he's sitting at the top of the order, he's going to have a lot of runs. In Dynasty, you know, he's not the greatest defensively. He's going to be a corner guy, probably stuck at first, eventually, or DH. Doesn't really steal bases, so keep that in mind. And he's a platoon. But, you know, this is a guy that, like, Matt Wallner is a platoon bat who puts up a lot of skills. Josh Lowe is a platoon bat who, you know, also does well for you, and you can use him as a on your team. So, you know, Colt Keith will probably be like a corner guy for you in Dynasty, but, you know, he's still pretty young, and I really like that he's added the kind of underlying bat speed and all that this year. So Colt Keith's a guy I'm having kind of like a deep sleeper where he's not really blowing up right now, but I could see him being very useful.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think he's probably still fairly cheap just because of the questions around the how that whole team fits together and who gets regular playing time, etc. So yeah, I think that's really interesting. I'm going to finish it off here with actually a teammate of the first guy that I talked about, Juan Valera. They're both on the Greenville Drive. That's Justin Gonzalez. I've talked a ton about him throughout the offseason, throughout spring training. 6'5", very athletic for his size and build. There's a ton of power here. He hit a ball tonight that he hit 110 on a line drive to the pull side for a double. Had a couple of home runs over the first series. He's showing in-game power more consistently. There are bat-to-ball skills and approach here as well. We kind of saw that as an 18-year-old in full season level last year. He's now 19 and doing the same thing. He's going to be 19 all year. So this is one of the younger, prodigious hitters in the game and somebody that I just honestly want to have on all my rosters. So I'm going to preach a little bit more on the my sermon of Justin Gonzalez. But I do think that he's somebody that in Dynasty League you should still be targeting heavily because I don't think we've seen the ceiling. I don't think that the value has peaked yet, and I think that's probably going to come slowly over the next year. So go out and get him now while you still can, because this looks like he could be a true 30-home run bat simply because of the type of power that he pairs with really good plate skills. He can get to the power. Just a matter of tweaking the angles a little bit, he seems like he's done that. So pretty excited about Justin Gonzalez. Dylan, anything you wanted to add on Justin Gonzalez overall on the show before we wrap up?
No, I mean, I love Justin Gonzalez in Devil's Rejects. Brian picked him up. You know, he was getting all that buzz, and you were writing articles. Ian was writing articles. We're getting all these reports, and Boston camp was like talking about how he's a monster. He's so huge, etc. I think it's quieted down all that, the hype, but like you said, he's about to explode. Right now, I just pulled it up. On the average of 15 plate appearances at high A, he's in the top 8. Luis Peña, number 1. Raniel Rodriguez, number 3. Some names you may know. Nathan Flewelling, number 4. And Justin Gonzalez, right up there. So I think you're right. This is the sweet spot to get him, where the hype from like last week, 2 weeks ago, is kind of quieted. And then before the hype of him actually producing, when it's undeniable, once we see the exit velocities and the stat gases out and all that, we can he'll be a top 100 prospect possibly. So I think now is the sweet spot to trade for.
Yeah, I think you are 100% right. I like what you're laying down here, Dylan. I also want to thank you for joining me today, everybody out there, for listening and tuning in, and of course for supporting Baseball America podcast, written content, subscriptions, books, all that sort of thing. Got a whole lot of stuff coming for you over the next week and weekend, so make sure to stay tuned. And by the way, we've updated the Baseball America app. It actually functions correctly now. You can get that stuff with push notifications from the feed. Kind of scroll down and through all the articles as they've come out in sort of chronological order. So check that out and download it if you don't already have it. It's definitely a useful tool if you are a subscriber trying to stay up to date on content. For Jeff, for Dylan, this has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
Cheers.